fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome to Common Sense Radio. That's right. Welcome to Common Sense Radio. It's Thursday night and you're right where you should be in front of your radio to find out what's going on in Alabama, in the world, in America. It's right here. You get the side story, the back story, the straight story, the front story. We got it all right here on Common Sense Radio, coming to you from the Call News studios. That's right, the Call News, your source for local news, local sports in Mobile County. It's your hometown paper. If you want to know what's really going on in Mobile County and news and sports, you need to subscribe to the Call News right now. Go to thecallnews.com. Right now you can subscribe, get it delivered to your home. Get it online, however you want it. They aim to please. It's very easy. It is your best source for local news and sports, the Call News, and the most provocative opinion page in the entire state, perhaps the entire Southeast. And here we are. It's a Thursday night. It was a bit stormy. There were some bad weathers.
Yeah.
Yeah, threat of tornado. But does that dissuade us? Does that scare us? Does that keep us off the air? No, no, it does not, because we have a champion who can brave the weather, who can brave the ionosphere and make those electrons bounce at will where he wants them to go, because he is the wizard of all electrons. I even think he has an in on the weather. It is our award-winning engineer, our co-host, executive producer, all-around nice guy, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Love having you.
Bounce
here.
Those electrons around, huh?
I just like to watch you just... You know, swat those electrons around like a cat with a ball.
Yeah. And you said ionosphere and all that good meteorological stuff.
Yeah. You are all over it. All over it.
And, oh, mercy.
And with the hope to preserve some dignity and decorum for the show, we always have our Director of Quality Assurance, who's here to make sure that there's something worthwhile and of value said on the show. And she is always here. She has a big job trying to keep up with these two old guys here. Our co-host, executive producer, Gold Star wife, United States Coast Guard, Teresa Taylor.
It's great to be here. And I have a question, and I feel like it's necessary. I'm requesting a raise in my pay because
she's
feel like I deserve some hazardous duty pay.
I think you get 100% increase.
And you know why? Because I sit here by you and Mark every day.
Yeah.
And according to Talking Heads, you and Mark are the greatest threat. To my safety.
Right. Yeah.
That's true.
We are white males. Quite brave of me to sit here with you guys.
I think it is.
Hazardous duty pay. I'll go along with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I bet the listeners can text in at 343-0106.
I am
and
a
say,
dangerous,
what
dangerous
sort of
man.
Hazardous duty pay should.
I hope everyone detects my sarcasm.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure the listeners probably they love you, but they question your judgment that you hang out with Mark.
Well, according to Don Lemon, I'm just risking something sitting here.
Was the crazy thing.
Wasn't it? So stupid.
Can we call him a racist?
Yeah. Well, sure.
Don Lemon. Lemon, for those of you that don't know, is a CNN anchor, I guess. Is he an anchor?
Well, he's on CNN.
He's on CNN. I don't know.
And he popped up, like, I think about the time Trump was elected.
Yeah, and he's been out there. You know, he's a typical CNN Trump hater, hates Christians, conservatives, Republicans. And he came out and said, we should have got the clip, says, you know, there's no travel ban on white guys. There's nothing to control white guys. They're the biggest threat. The biggest threat to the United States is white guys.
Yeah. And
so
he said, we're going to have to do something about it. So I thought, man.
And I should have got the, because the first part of the clip is, we shouldn't go around demonizing people. But the biggest threat in America is white guys, which, you know, is odd because Don Lemon's married to a white guy.
Right. Someone brought that up.
So, how weird is all that?
Very. And it just kind of goes back to the insanity that's sweeping the nation.
So we got to go, Don, we can't take you seriously. You're married to a white guy.
Well, and if you think about, we had the ridiculous Megyn Kelly thing just not even a week ago.
about and the Halloween costumes?
So it's kind of like, all right, can
you
we
got that
at
clip?
I think so. Hey,
be consistent about
no
it.
Travel ban on them in an exchange that has prompted rebuke from conservatives on social media. Quote, I keep trying to point out to people and not to demonize any one group or any one ethnicity, Lemon said to fellow CNN anchor Chris Cuomo during a handoff of their respective programs late Monday. So, we have to stop demonizing people and realize the biggest terror threat in this country is white men.
That is from The Hill, a website, and that's a reporter.
They were like recapping what
recapping. But that's what he said. He said verbatim what he said. I said, yeah. I thought it was so funny. We got to stop demonizing people. But the biggest threat is white guys.
Right.
Really?
It's just.
And that kind of goes really to what I had at the top. Dear Lord, what is, you know, happens? We hate these things when they happen in our country. The synagogue massacre last week was absolutely horrific, you know, reprehensible, heinous, and senseless. I mean, you just see stuff like that, go, where does that come from?
Well, people are snapping.
They are snapping. And, they are. Yeah. And I think something, and what I wanted to bring up, there's crazy people. Yes, there's crazy people out there. And this goes back to, remember last week, they were talking about, we were talking about who sent the bombs, right? Who sent the mail bombs? And it didn't make sense. Why would somebody send mail bombs to basically has-been Democrats for the most part, right?
Right.
None of them are really in power or anything. Why are you... doing that, it didn't make sense. And I know people had talked about the false flag, and it turned out, I guess, the next day, Friday.
Yeah, it was just right after
they found a guy who said he was a Seminole Indian, but he might be Filipino. But they don't really know what he is. Nobody's really exactly saying.
Right.
But he had a van with Trump stickers on. So everybody started going nuts. See, Trump made him do it. He was hitting the Trump targets. It's the conservatives. They're evil. They're vile. They're violent. They're mean. He's a crazy guy.
But let's notice, too, none of the questions we had ever got answered. Did you see the van? Brand new, clean, as a whistle. None of the stickers are faded. I mean,
here's the thing.
They're all brand new.
That was probably a wrap.
That van was probably wrapped with wraps. Wrapping vans.
Like a shrink wrap onto your car.
So you think he paid to have those stickers wrapped on there?
I don't.
Or a wrap with all those stickers embedded?
They take a photo of what you want. They put it on the plastic wrap and they wrap the vehicle.
Did you not just get the feel, though, if Hollywood wanted to create this, would it not look just like this?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean that's proof, but it still is there. It raised questions in my mind. And then the story just shut down because, again, everything that happened on Saturday.
Right. Saturday. But there's the juxtaposition is the guy on Saturday, obviously another crazy person, an anti-Semitic, but he's also a Trump hater.
Right.
He hates Trump.
Right. But.
So does that mean.
But.
But then the media and the leftists and the Democrats came out. Well, that's Trump's fault, too.
Yeah.
Because he hated Trump. He did it. Wait a minute. If we use the logic that the Trump lover sent the mail bombs, shouldn't we use the logic that the Trump hater was motivated by all the Trump?
Yeah.
So all of you Trump haters out there, you're responsible for the guy. But that doesn't. That's my point. It doesn't wash.
No,
that doesn't wash. There are crazy people. But what I wanted to the point I'm trying to get to is who is stirring the hate. Because they keep saying these things that, like, Trump's a Nazi, Trump's a racist, which is demagoguery and hyperbole. But it goes back to if you really think that Trump is Hitler, then your resistance could be justified, right? I mean, if you lived in Nazi Germany and you were resisting Hitler, you're hailed as a hero now.
You think you're the new Bonhoeffer.
Yeah, you're
right. You're hailed as a hero.
In your mind, yeah.
So really... some of these people, I think, are emboldened because we keep saying there's all this racism and hate. And I don't think there really is that much racism and hate. But the crazy people go,
Gotta do something. I got to do something about that.
Because there are racist people like me out there. The president's a racist like me out there. So I need to act. And I think that there's something to that. Remember when they had the Unite the Right rally, two months ago?
Right.
And like, seven wild-eyed, crazy white supremacists descended on Washington, and the media made it, oh, we're going to, you know, they had thousands of Antifa there because all these white supremacists are coming. Mm-hmm. We're going to, no, nobody knows who they are. They're crazy people. They have no credibility. They have no following. But you puffed them up and gave them credibility on this. And I think they're stoking the fire in the media on this.
Right.
Because this doesn't really exist.
Well, again.
No, it exists in crazy people, but not in mainstream thought.
Again, I refer back to Saul Alinsky's rules, Rules for Radicals. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all of this is a direct ripoff of that, of the playbook. That's the playbook.
It is.
It is the playbook. Now, I want to get into it because Trump went and he visited with the families and the rabbi. There were people out there booing Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait a minute. This is a time, a solemn time, a time to mourn, and everybody needs to hold their tongue, and we do the mourning, right? And the president was paying his respects and showing his condolences, which I think is a high honor. And like the rabbi there said that he was really impressed and surprised by the warm personal side.
Right.
But did you see that in the news?
Nope.
No, you got to come here to Common Sense Radio to hear that. I don't know. It's crazy. And I think we're stoking it and overplaying it. But we got more. What do y'all think about it? Give us a call at 251-343-0106 or a text if you're shy.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
So we have to stop demonizing people and realize the biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right. And we have to start doing something about them. There is no travel ban on them. There is no ban on, you know, they had the Muslim ban. There is no white guy ban. So what do we do about that?
Yeah, Pete, what do we do?
There's actually Don Lemon from CNN saying that. See? We need a ban on white guys.
Yeah. Come on. Really? Even on air? What if we just, I mean, there's rules. We know we can't do that, even on the radio.
Yeah.
We wouldn't do that. Anyway,
well, no, they say the most absurd things.
I know. It's like, how do they get by with it?
Yeah, because what if we said, well, we need a ban on all Muslims? Well,
then
can you say that? What kind of hate mail would we get for that to say, well, you know, most of the terrorist attacks, you know, the bombs and that stuff is Muslims, so we need a ban on Muslims. I mean, I guess what's just so aggravating is it's so absurd and they said it very seriously.
He's not fired.
He's not
fired. Is he
going to
be fired?
No.
He's not fired, not sanctioned.
Not sanctioned. He's praised for it.
Nothing's going on,
But see, they're painting the country wrong. And I'll tell you, look, I went trick-or-treating last night in my neighborhood. My neighborhood blocks off Pace Parkway. And so if you live on Pace Parkway, if you don't live on Pace Parkway, you can go park in the median and you can give out candy. A lot of people do.
Oh, cute.
It's all.
Yeah,
so
nice.
The police are there. The road's blocked off. And we went last night. And you know something? It was very nice. A lot of happy families. And you know something that struck me in my neighborhood?
What's that?
Every ethnicity was represented in my neighborhood.
Hmm.
Every ethnicity and every religion was represented in my neighborhood last night.
How could you tell that?
What they wore.
Okay.
There's apparently more than a few Muslims in my neighborhood, right? I mean, they were out. But here's the thing. It was a really nice night. Everybody was very happy and friendly as the kids laughed at each other's costumes and stuff. And I was watching all this thinking, you know, look at all these people. All they want to do is, this is the reality.
Yeah.
They just want to raise their kids.
Mm-hmm.
They want to have a nice place to live that's safe. They want to have a good job so they can provide for their families.
Right.
And they want to be able to go out on Halloween night and walk through the neighborhood safely and enjoy their neighbors. And that's real in America. It's not all this hyperbole and demagoguery that we hear on the airwaves and from the media about I'm not saying that racism doesn't exist, but it's a lot more rare than the media would have you believe that literally half of the country is racist.
Yeah.
All Trump supporters are racist.
I hate to say it,
we were all thinking about it a lot less before Barack Obama.
No, that's true.
I really think he started the Kindle to this conflagration.
Well, yeah,
everybody
thought race relations had progressed so far, and all of a sudden we got a black president, and they got worse.
From his virtually first month when he lambasted the police at what college town was
it? Somewhere in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Cambridge?
Cambridge. Yeah. He said they acted stupidly. Yes.
Yeah.
That was his
words. He had no information, of what actually happened. And did the police overreact? I don't know. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. The guy lived there, you know?
Yeah, I remember that.
But they're doing their due diligence of protecting the neighborhood.
Because there's a guy trying to go in the window.
Yeah.
So they asked. Why are you going in the window,
exactly,
dude?
Exactly. But Obama had to come right out immediately because the person they questioned was a black professor and the police.
A white cop just going.
And so all of a sudden, here we go with the racism. It had, you know.
No, and it flamed into we're having race riots and Black Lives Matter and all this stuff going on. When we thought we were on the track to healing, which I really think he missed an opportunity, he could have been very unifying
If he really wanted to be the transformational president that he claimed that he was going to do and transform America, he could have done it in this regard, in this respect, and been successful about it and been praised by virtually everybody for attempting and being successful at moving the country in that direction. But instead, he has to go down the socialist rabbit hole and try and grab power for the federal government through the Obamacare, through the overtaking of our healthcare system, splitting the country completely in half.
No. And the millennials and the snowflakes, I was teaching in public school when those kids were about early middle school. They were like 10-year-olds. And I can remember looking back and thinking, man, this is it. You know, because you could just see these were kids. They didn't see race, and you could see it.
No, they don't.
In their interaction, and I loved it. You know, I thought, man, this is really great. So he had an opportunity that I think he just squashed.
Yeah.
Because,
you know what
I mean?
He missed it.
Yeah.
But let me give you the example. Now, people do – there is still violence going on that has happened since last week, since the massacre, and things that do. But let me give you the comparison how they say how bad the conservative white guy Republicans are. There's two incidents that happened, very political incidents, that you probably didn't see in the news. One was, I think, is Volusia County in Florida?
It is, yes. Daytona Beach, as a matter of fact.
In Volusia County, somebody fired shots into the GOP headquarters
a few days ago.
Yeah, but that
you didn't see that on the media.
Nope. Mm-mm.
So, okay, so there you go. You had some violence from, you got to assume, leftists fired shots into the GOP. Well, apparently, we got to be fair. There is some Republican or conservative also did an act at a Democrat headquarters. And I can't remember where. It's somewhere in the Midwest. Somebody went and dumped a load of manure in front of the Democrat headquarters. So we got a little bit of crazy on each side. But balance those two. On one, they fire shots, bullets into a place. And the other one, they dump a load of manure.
Political commentary.
Which I'm not saying you should go run around dumping manure in front of Democrat headquarters, but they're not equivalent.
No.
And they're blowing this. And again, the point we started out with, what all of this does when you go to the hyperbole and you say, hey, these guys are racist, they're Nazis, Trump is Hitler, you're making the crazy person think, I need to act.
I need to do something about this.
Because there's people out there that think like me, and they would condone that.
If I'd been in Germany in 1936, I'd have done something about Hitler.
That's right. And I'm here, and I'm going to do something about Trump, because I'm a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
I'm a Seminole Indian bodybuilder.
Yeah, well, and then you have to weave in the psychological effect of social media and how that really has transformed the mental landscape, if that's even a thing. But think about it. You know, someone can go on Twitter and they get this inflated sense, you know, they can talk back to whoever they want to almost. And, you know, they're on the same but playground as the president.
Yeah, but yeah, there really is something to that.
But it's like a narcissistic type
of thing. It is a narcissist, yes. But there's also something because it's impersonal.
Yeah.
Because,
see,
you don't see the other person. Right. You don't know anything about them. You're typing something on Twitter or Facebook. So you say stuff that you would never say if you were sitting in front of that person at a table.
I'd say in most cases you're probably correct, but we're seeing a shift because of the anonymity that you feel and the boldness that you get, that is now bleeding over into real life and away from social media. We have young people making fun of an elderly person out in public in the daylight because they don't agree with what he stands for.
Yeah.
Right.
We've got people that, you know, are getting in your face.
They're getting in your face.
Public places.
They see someone choking and dying in a restaurant and they just video it.
Yeah.
Instead of helping because they know they can post it or they laugh. Yeah.
It's a situation where because of that anonymity of social media, that has emboldened enough people that now it is bleeding over into the real world. And
it's changing the psyche.
It is.
Awful. No, there's a video just the last couple of days on Twitter going around. Some black guy in a coffee shop is wearing a red MAGA hat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some guy in a white guy in a football jersey is giving him what for and getting up in his face.
Right.
And it's like, what are you doing that for? Or like the guy who threw the Coke in the kid's face in San Antonio in the Whataburger here this summer.
Yeah.
What? Just because he's wearing. Right. I mean, I see people with Obama T-shirts all the time, and I don't like swerve my truck to try to hit them.
Yeah, I still see Obama stickers on some cars from time to time. I see Hillary stickers on cars.
I saw Hillary one today.
It's like, what am I going to run my car into the side of them because I don't like Hillary?
Right. Yeah, I don't like Hillary. I'm going to run you up the. What?
I usually feel sorry for them. It's like, why do you still have that on?
Believe it or not, really? I know this old dumbfound listeners. I actually have friends that are Democrats.
Me too.
Big Democrat friends.
And I love them. Yeah.
And a lot of them are good people. I mean, we just
they're
can't
just
see
wrong.
Eye to eye on the politics, but they're, you know.
They're just wrong.
I'm still good friends with them. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. But it doesn't have to become violent. And we need to take a step. That was actually the column this week, Separate Hate from Partisanship. There's no reason. We can disagree vehemently, but we don't have to be violent about it. Exactly. It's absolutely crazy. Okay, we've got lines open at 343-0106. And don't forget, we're going to be talking about the election coming up, the amendments on the ballot, and it's 2 weeks from tonight. Common Sense Radio live at Serta's Brewery at 600 Government Street. You don't want to miss it. Go to our Facebook page. Find out more. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Coming to you in the Call News studios. And at the bottom of the hour, we bring aboard a special sponsor, ABC Shirts and ABC Signs. That is your headquarters for dry fit, custom-made shirts. You get one or a million, whatever you need. They'll help you design them. You get them for your family reunion, for your employees, your sports teams, or you just want a I Love Mark Holliday t-shirt. They will make it. They'll make signs if you're crazy and you want to run for city council. Whatever it is, they can help you. Promotional items, you need to go to abcshirts.biz, B-I-Z, or abcsigns.biz, B-I-Z, or give them a call at 877-744-6750, and they bring you wit and wisdom from our 40th president.
Well, you know, there are times when I think some of our critics and our opponents must have been hit by something, meteors or something else. They've developed a very interesting case of amnesia. They can't remember a thing that was bad about the economy prior to my taking the oath of office. They can think that everything economically that's bad started on January 21st, 1981. They don't remember that in the 4 years before we got to Washington, the entire government of the United States was in their hands. They controlled the presidency, the United States Senate, the House of Representatives, and all the committees of Congress, the executive branch, the hundreds of departments and agencies responsible for running the federal establishment. They had the whole enchilada. They controlled everything except inflation, interest rates, taxes, and an economy that was on a toboggan slide.
There you go, folks. I picked this one. This is the 7th of October, 1982. President Reagan at a Nevada Republican Party rally. And it's similar to where we are right now. The only real difference is that when this was right before the 1982 midterm, Reagan's first midterm, the difference was that when he took office, Democrats did control everything, the Congress and the White House. So they had complete control of the government.
Right, right.
And they were acting like all the economic problems started when he took over.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at kind of like right now. It's a similar thing to go, well, you remember for 8 years we had a crappy economy. And all of a sudden, in the last 2 years, we've had a boom. And even Obama's come out and said, well, you know who started it. This is my economy. Which, don't you all find it funny that the entire 8 years Obama was in office, he blamed the economy on George Bush.
Right.
And as soon as he got out of office, he took credit.
Yeah.
And it improved. He took credit for Trump's economy. But that's where we are. Look back. What the executive did, we had the federal government pursuing very deleterious policies for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
We had a stagnant economy. We were losing ground. We are now gaining ground. We have job growth again, best job growth, wage growth is here. The economy was 4.2% second quarter, 3.5% the third quarter. Folks, that is real growth. We're gaining ground.
Any economic metric that you want to look at has improved and improved dramatically. And if you want to keep on going, I mean, I'm just going to put in the plug here. You know, if the House of Representatives turns blue,
yes,
then all of this stops, or it gets slowed down to the point where it gets paralyzed. So,
well, and I think the markets reflected that.
Yeah, that's why the markets are jittery, because they're worried.
Oh, yeah.
Because what does anybody think? What do you think Nancy Pelosi, as Speaker of the House again, you know, and Adam Schiff on the Intel Committee and whatever, all these other Democrats take over these committees, what do you think they're going to do the next 2 years? Maxine Waters has been telling us, impeach, impeach, impeach.
Yeah. Yep.
They tell me not to say it, but I'm going to say it. Impeach, impeach, impeach.
Yeah, there will be articles of impeachment if the Democrats control the House. Now, I have
they
a pretty,
won't go anywhere.
I'm pretty confident that the Republicans will hold the Senate, maybe gain some seats in the Senate.
I think they're going to gain seats. It's pretty
but so those articles of impeachment won't go anywhere, but the investigations surrounding those,
they're going to investigate.
Will go forever.
Nothing else
will get done except investigations. Nothing.
And it's going to be silly investigations. They're going to do investigations to find out if there's Russian dressing in the White House and is it out of date.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's going to be stupid stuff, and nothing's going to get done.
It's just going to take forever.
They're
going to like run the clock out.
They're going to hamstring everything, trying to see if they can make Trump look bad enough to boot him out in 2020. And I have a hard time believing the Americans, what they've seen over the last 2 years, why would they vote against that?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't understand it. You see, all the Senate races are trending towards the Republicans.
Right.
I mean, they've pretty much given up. They're not taking the Senate.
Yeah.
I don't understand, how is it that all the races, Senate races, are trending to Republicans, but at the same time, the House races are trending to the Democrats?
You know, it's kind of the entire House is up for re-election.
Right.
Every 2 years, the entire House.
Right.
So, and there's some that have been retired. I mean, for example, in Tennessee, Marsha Blackburn, who was a representative, is now running for Senate.
Right.
So there are some changes where the incumbent is not, you know,
they've been retired.
It's not running. So it's kind of a whole new ball game in the House of Representatives, which is the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a whole new ball game every 2 years.
It is, but it doesn't make sense to me. It's like we were talking earlier about Florida in the break.
Right.
So we're looking at Florida, and Florida is seriously looking at electing Rick Scott, a conservative Republican, to finally send Bill Nelson, who's been in the Senate since 1892.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah,
they're going to send him home.
150 years,
150 years. They're going to finally send him home. They're actually thinking, we're going to put this conservative guy in a statewide election. But at the same time,
Andrew Gillum.
We're going to elect a gun-hating Marxist to bring an income tax to Florida. And I'm going, really? So y'all really think that there's going to be a majority of Florida voters that will split their ballot and say, I'm going to put a conservative Republican in the Senate and a Marxist in the governor's mansion?
Yes, I know.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
It doesn't make sense, but it's a nerve-wracking thing for Floridians.
Well, I know Floridians are poor Mark is really nervous. But look, LD the Mad Trucker has been holding patiently on line one. LD, what do you got for us?
Hey, guys, two quick things. Have you noticed, I mean, I have, they are dead silent on this Unabomber guy. No more anything on this fella. There's something fishy as it can be about that, and I think it may be, I heard on the radio, there's like 300 pictures of him with his arms around Democrats.
Oh, really? So you think that maybe he has a recent conversion to being a Trump guy?
That's what they said on radio. 1 month ago, he converted to Republicanism. But that's not why I called. Let me say this real quick, and I'll get off the line. This is all – you want this wall up, or do you want to stop this caravan? It's the simplest thing in the world. President Trump needs to get Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and get them together in front of a camera and say, don't you think that this caravan of people are seeking – you know, they want a better life. And, of course, what can they say? Nancy Pelosi's got to say yes and say, well, you know what? I've got a change of heart. From now on, everyone who doesn't pay federal tax will pay a 15% tax to help these people along. And let's see how fast Democrats can, say, build a wall.
Yeah. No. There he goes. There's LD the Mad Trucker. No, you're bringing up the caravan.
And this is funny because, you know, Nancy Pelosi does live behind a wall. I'm sure they
all. So does Barack Obama. They all live behind
walls. That's so funny. I know.
They all live behind walls.
Let
but
them
I mean,
tear
protected
their
by
walls
men with guns.
But see, but they're, but they're, but
every
even,
one of them.
But even the caravan, you look at that and go, okay, well, so wait a minute. I live in a crappy socialist country with high crime and corruption, and I want to get away from the socialist country with its high crime and corruption and go to the capitalist country with a booming economy where I can make a living. That's why they're coming.
Right, right.
But when I get there, I'm going to register to vote Democrat and vote back in the policies I just left.
Right.
I mean, just the fact they're coming doesn't that prove Trump's point that he's successful? They're coming because it works here.
Well, yeah. But you know, if you listen to Democrats, the ones we had a text earlier that a lot of Democrats, particularly in Alabama, are not identifying that they're Democrats, even though it's a political office and not, you know, not a administrative office of some kind. Unless they're in unless the base is very liberal, very leftist anyway, like San Francisco and most of California, they have to kind of couch their rhetoric and their policies to make it almost sound like they're conservative. So people, if they're not listening closely and not drilling down and investigating on their own, will think, well, that sounds pretty. I remember listening to Obama on many of his speeches, State of the Union and other speeches, and I'm sitting back there and I'm listening. I'm saying, well, you know, that sounds pretty good. That, on the surface, that sounds pretty
reasonable.
That sounds pretty conservative. But you got to drill down. You have to look behind the curtain and see what do they really mean and how do they really want to – and you know, what is it that they're actually trying to accomplish? And it is 180 degrees from what you want.
And they're
most
trying
of the
to
time.
Deceive the voters. Project Veritas guy is out there Claire McCaskill, Senator Claire McCaskill, Missouri on tape.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the one cinema or whatever she is, the cinnamon bun out there in Arizona running.
Exactly.
Got him on tape saying, oh, no, we're really progressive, but we hide it because we have conservative voters and they, you know, we got to win first.
Right, right.
I mean, that's what they're doing. They always do it. That's why they want to bring in new voters that don't know. That's why they want to control the judiciary, because they know they can't pass.
They can't get it through the legislature. They can't have an executive sign it into law. They've got to do it through the judiciary.
That's exactly
they have
what
to.
They're doing.
And Trump's kind of foiling them on that, which is why they're so adamantly.
Calling them out.
Yeah,
he's making them show
apoplectic. They're apoplectic.
Yes. And I think actually the birthright citizenship thing, can he end birthright? And put it in the news. He got it back in the news. They were trying to talk about other stuff.
Hey, let's look at the Constitution. What did it mean? If it gets to the Supreme Court, of course, that's a long way to get there.
Yes,
but.
Let's have the fight.
Let's have the fight.
And let's talk about it. And let's make it a midterm election issue, which is probably a brilliant move.
We've
got lines open, 343-0106. Who do you think? Is the Republicans going to hold the House, or are we looking at Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House? Give us a call, 343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, coming to the Call News Studios. And, hey, I guess we don't need to talk about the election because Nancy Pelosi says it's over. They've won. They're taking the House. She's already been down there to Paul Ryan's office to measure for curtains.
Seems like I heard something along those lines in November of 2016.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to have our first woman president. But yeah. I don't know. Maybe I will.
We'll see. And the Cook Report has come out and said Democrats to gain 30 to 40 seats. Nate Silver says 85% the House takes it.
What? We all know Nate Silver, don't we?
Yeah.
Don't we know Nate Silver? Well,
didn't he say that Hillary Clinton would be president? Was
in 85? A landslide.
Landslide. 85%, yes. 90% landslide.
Right, right.
So
Trump would carry two states.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of where. So take that with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I've looked at the polls a bunch, and I will tell you, it looks way too close. Way too close.
It's going to be
I'll give you an
night.
Example. There's ones where they'll have, like there's a district in Minnesota where there's a Republican incumbent, mm-hmm. and they have a poll that says the Democrat is ahead by two.
Right.
And they say they think it's going to go Democrat, but in 2016, it went for Trump by 30 points.
Right.
So I'm going, wait a minute. You got a Republican incumbent in a district that went for Trump for 30 points, and you think the Democrat's going to take out the Republican incumbent?
Yeah, yeah.
I got to see that. I got to see that. I'm going to go look at all those. We got to do this for the listeners. We got to do the amendments, right? We got four. We're not going to talk about Florida because they have 313
amendments. There's 1,055 different amendments.
It's crazy.
And the problem in Florida, because of the Constitutional Review Committee, they are allowed by law to put more than one issue
in one
amendment.
So you get,
and they can be, they're not they're not related in any way, shape, or form. For example, one, I'll give this real quick. Offshore drilling and under 18 vaping.
Is it in the same amendment?
In the same amendment.
You have to decide.
If you're okay with under 18 vaping, but you're not okay with offshore drilling, you've got no way of voting for that amendment.
No way. Yeah. So it sounds like Andrew Gillum is already
ridiculous.
In charge.
Yeah, it just sounds like it, doesn't it?
That's
all right.
Just crazy.
Alabama amendments. Let's go.
We got four amendments.
Yes. The first one, number one, and easy for our listeners, there's only four. Vote yes for all of them. And here's why. Number one, if you are wanting to allow the Ten Commandments to be posted on state property, and that's cool with you.
Yes.
Just vote yes. Okay.
Yes. Simple.
Simple, easy. Amendment number two makes the Constitution officially say that we are a pro-life state. So if that's
pro-lifer,
you're good with
that's
that.
A yes.
It's a simple yes for all of us in this booth. That's yes. Amendment number three removes the state superintendent of education from the University of Alabama Board of Trustees. This is more of an administrative thing. There was like a glitch in there that said after you're 70 years old, you had to get to packing. Now they're saying the birthday doesn't matter as much. It's kind of irrelevant for most of us.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're really concerned about how the Board of Trustees for the University of Alabama works, you need to research it a little more to make sure. But from my research, voting yes is good.
Only thing I care about is they beat LSU.
Exactly.
That's the only thing that matters.
Ooh, I know, I'm being nervous. And then amendment number four allows the Alabama State House of Representatives and the Senate that they, if there's a vacancy shortly before the next general election, to remain vacant until they are filled in the general election. So it prevents an unnecessary special election.
Yeah, because the special election costs tens of thousands of dollars.
How many special elections did we have over the last couple of years?
We had a special election every three months.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a citizen. I'm not a voter in Alabama, but I'm all in favor of that.
To me, the first two are way more morally important. The other ones...
Elect a good governor and let them appoint to fill out the term. Mm-hmm. And if it's only... I don't know what the time is, but like 8 months or less than a year to the election.
I mean,
do your own research on that, of course. Yeah. But
So the amendments, and then the local races, there's nothing really hot. I mean, we got a judge race contested, you know, and I'm sorry, but I don't care how nice a guy you are. If you're a Democrat, I can't vote for you anymore.
That's how I feel.
They're bat poop crazy. The party is, and you're ultimately going to vote with your party. I just can't do it. Look, the last Democrat I voted for was Senator Lloyd Benson in 1992 in Texas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm very confident he will remain forever the last Democrat that I ever voted for.
Yeah, right. Okay. I hear you.
And then now there is a hot race that I think may be a sleeper, Alabama House 97.
Mm.
Adeline Clark is the incumbent, and I think she's feeling very comfortable, but there is a very, very aggressive, hardworking, ambitious Republican candidate, Steve McNair.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Who I think may pull off an upset. He is working really hard. He's walked a lot of neighborhoods, got a lot of signs out. He may pull up an upset. That may be the only exciting local race that we have. And we got somebody called in. Let's see what we got. Well, who do we have on line one?
Hey, it's Rod.
Rod, what do you got for us?
Well, you know, I'm a constitutionalist, and would like to classify myself as an independent, trying to be free thinking. But this is an agenda that's been going on for almost 100 years. And it was started by a guy named Saul Alinsky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't read the book, Rules for Radicals, it's all there. What's happening today is, you know, the progressive efforts of the radical element, which in my opinion is determined to overthrow the establishment.
Right. You know, Rod, and just about every show I start here on Thursday nights, I say, that's right out of the playbook, Saul Alinsky's Rule for Radicals.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
Well, I wish I'd heard you guys before. I just tuned in to you tonight for the first time. But, you know, I keep hearing the talk show host on TV and all wondering, you know, where's this coming from? Read the book.
No, you're right. Yeah. It is. It's
read the book.
It's to sow discontent, and once there's discontent and turmoil, then they will make their power play. Rod, where are you listening from?
Over in Baldwin County, the Foley area.
Well, you got to tune in. We're here every Thursday night at 8 p.m. We've been on for 70 years. No, I mean 7 years. And we're here every Thursday, 106.5. And
podcasts available.
Podcasts are available.
FMTalk1065.com.
Yep, you can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. And two weeks from tonight, November 15th, we will be broadcasting live from Serta's Brewery at 600 Government Street. And it's a beer and cigar night. You can come see what radio faces look like. We will be there. It's going to be a lot of fun, Rod. I hope you can join us.
Thank you. One other thing, if I give them 1 second. You know, historically, we've had these kind of revolutions where the activists have attempted successfully to overthrow the establishment. In the Chinese Revolution, the French Revolution, the Iranian Revolution, the Russian Revolution, the American Revolution, you know, back in the day.
Yep.
We're seeing another revolution.
Exactly. We're out of time. We got to leave it right there, Rod. Thanks for the call.
Rod, thanks. See us in Serta's in 2 weeks on the 15th of November. Honey, it's time to go home. Come home and vote.